Good morning. Christ is our midst. And welcome to everyone who's online with us this morning. And I congratulate you all for being here, going through all those storms. It was touch and go early this morning, pretty loud, pretty thunderous. Our pond went from being very low, as you can see. It's over the top, no, not over the top, but over probably up 2 feet. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, a young couple are on the way to get married, get into a car accident, and they die, and they go to heaven. In heaven, they're waiting online at the pearly gates. They began to think, maybe we can get married up here in heaven. So when it was their turn, they come to St. Peter and ask St. Peter if they can get married in heaven. And St. Peter says, I do not know. No one has ever asked this before. Let me check. So Peter goes. He's gone 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. And finally, after 60 minutes, he comes back and says, yes, we can do it. They said, great. But we were gone to think, what if this doesn't work out? Can we get a divorce? St. Peter gets angry. He says, look, guys, you asked if you want to get married up here. And I said, and it took me forever to find a priest. Now you want me to find a lawyer? Bruce, lawyer jokes are always good. When we first fall in love, it is euphoric. We have a crush. We think about the person all the time. We plan our lives around being with the person. And this is called infatuation. When you're infatuated with someone, you not see their weak spots. You not see the person for who they really are. You have an idealized vision of the person. You see only their good side. Infatuation is not love. Infatuation can be a precursor to marital love. It's unfortunate in the English language, we only have one word for love. In Greek, it's more nuanced. There are several different words with different kinds of love. There is the love that we all share with family members, or called storge, with our parents or children, or siblings, or aunts or uncles. And there's philia love. It's the love that many of you all share here amongst each other. It's good, close friends. Love, and then eros love. It's the love between a husband and a wife. It's the love that infatuation can involve too. It's the love that occurs after you start noticing their defects, and you still love them, and you still care for them, and you continue, and in fact, that love is even an ascetical love. You work through all those things together. Then there's the love that we heard in today's epistle that Paul speaks about. First, he gives a list of virtues. Then he writes this. Above all these virtues, these things, put on love. The word that Paul uses here is agape. And agape is the greatest, the most superior of all loves. It's the love that God has for us. St. John the Theologian, when he defines what God does in this wonderful sentence, theos and agape, God is love, is the definition. And agape love is an unconditional love. It's a selfless love. It's a love poured out simply on other because they exist. And when Paul says, put on love, he's describing agape love as wearing a garment. It's something that we dress ourselves in, that we consciously wear. And because this love is like a garment that we wear, it's something that others should see when they look at us because we're wearing love. In fact, in the early church, pagans could tell the Christians how they loved each other and how they loved others. In 1 Corinthians 13, St. Paul describes in detail what a garment of love looks like. And if you want to follow with me, I put it in the bulletin insert on the back. I'm only going to look at a few verses in the middle, beginning with verse 4, but if you want to look at it with me. Because this is, in fact, 1 Corinthians 13, we all should know by heart, be very familiar with it. I know many of us who are, but it's just like such an important scripture. Verse 4, love is patient. Love is when we put off our immediate desires for the benefit of somebody else. We're patient with the other person. When we are patient with the others, we let go of our will. We tolerate whatever's going on for their benefit, whatever it may mean. Love is kind. That means when we love, that we're gentle. We soothe and we try to comfort the other person. We're never mean to them. We just love is kind. You're just always being kind. Kind people are loving people. Love is not jealous. I mean, to me, jealousy is so sad. To be envious of somebody, to covet someone else. No, love is to me, I'm happy for your blessings. I'm happy for your big house, your night, whatever it is, your good health, your beautiful child, whatever it is. You're not jealous. You're not envious. Love is not boastful. When we have to boast, it means we're broken. When we brag, it's because of our pride and ego. Our Lord. Well, instead of being boastful, we're supposed to be what? Humble, meek. Jesus says, take on my yoke from you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And then you will find rest for your souls. So, you know, we never brag. You know, when I was young, when I was in construction, you're always supposed to brag. It's not good for your soul. It's not good for friendships. Love is not arrogant. St. John Chrysostom simply puts it this way. Love humbles itself and meets others where they're at. It's like when you have a child, hey, honey, you meet them, get on the floor, play with them, and with everyone and everywhere. Never above somebody. That's arrogant. Love is never above the other. And love is never rude. Now think about rude people. When people are rude, they don't mean it. They're broken. It comes from the brokenness. It comes from their, it's survival. How they survive going through the world, just pushing their way through, being rude. Love does not seek to offend others. Rudeness is to offend others. It cares how others feel. And notice all these things that Paul is saying is about other people in defining love. It's never about me. Love is always focused on the other. And then Paul sums it all up. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable. Love does not rejoice on wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Everything else passes away, brothers and sisters, but love is saved, is what is saved in the kingdom. You know, when we're married, we have eros love, but the teaching is that doesn't enter heaven. What is our spirit, our growth with our spouse, that it becomes agape love. I love you because you exist. And the same with everything in love. Jesus says, you're not given in marriage. Why in heaven? Because it's all agape love. It's beyond all this. It's beautiful. And when we read these words of Paul, we read these words, we're hearing a description of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Everything he is himself. When our Lord is hanging on a cross, he says, it is finished. In Greek, the word is, It's the trajectory. It's the end of everything I've done. In other words, our Lord's whole life was all about the cross. And what's the cross? Love crucified. Christ did everything. His whole life was for us to nail our sins to the cross, to end everything. And that's what love does. It does everything for the other. It is said that the Holy Apostle John, at the end of his life, you know, he died the oldest. He was at the year 100, he was about 93 years old, and he was on Patmos, and he was in exile. And as we know, he was a great theologian. People would come to him and seek wisdom from him, and this saintly man. And when people came to him, they asked him, what is the most important thing? What is the most important thing for my life? What is the most important thing? And this is what his, and if you remember his writings, he speaks a lot about love. He says, at the very end of his life, His words was like the ultimate homily, his ultimate homily. But the last thing he said, love, love, and love. That's my three words for you. That's it. The wise old St. John theologian. Father Tom Hopko, I think it was in summary, said this, but I've seen him write it or read it or say it elsewhere. If we had to sum up the whole Christian life in one word, the word is love, agape. Love, agape love. It's a garment, a spiritual garment that we're all invited to. You know, when we're baptized into Christ, we put on Christ, we put on love, we put on who God is. It's a garment that we're called to wear wherever we go, all the time. And when we wear this garment, other people should see. It's a garment that everyone should see that we love others, just as the early Christians did, by just the way we behave. So then we always, brothers and sisters, be found wearing the garment of love. To Christ be glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.